Welcome to It's a Mom Thing. This is the show where we get down and dirty with moms. We find out what's going on in their hearts, what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their souls. And hopefully through these stories, we're looking for you to find that little glimmer that will give you the hope that you need to continue to move forward and move on in life and run the good race. Our guest today is Kim Tizer, and Kim is a mom, a daughter, a wife, and an author. She wrote the book, Joy is Contagious, Cancer Isn't. Welcome to the show, Joy. So glad to have you here. I mean, Kim, so glad to have you here. But you're
hey,
joyful,
Mary.
So it
Thank
fits,
so
right?
It sure does. I like the name Joy. As a matter of fact, there's a woman named Joy that's in the book, so it's perfect. I'm just happy to be here, and thank you, Mary, for having me on. I'm looking forward to our chat.
I am too. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on your book and actually reading the book. I've been going through some of the bios.
Thank you.
Oh, and I've been going through your blog site at Kim Tizer. That's KIMTISOR.com. And I got to tell you, I've just fallen in love with you. I love your joy and your enthusiasm.
Thank you, Mary.
It's beautiful. Got a quick question, though. Here on the book, you have, was it 10 different ladies that came in and you talked about them and their struggle with breast cancer or various cancers?
There are 12 women total, myself mm-hmm. included, and we all share about our breast cancer journey. So each of us had breast cancer. Yeah.
All right. Did you see that there was a recurring theme or emotion from story to story with these different women?
You know, going back through those stories, I would say, you know, we all shared surprise, first mm-hmm. off. You know, no one expects to have cancer. No one ever says, oh, I just knew I'd have cancer. You know, most of us were in the prime of life, maybe mm-hmm. raising young children. So we were quite surprised. And then I think we all shared fear initially, which is very mm-hmm. common when
right.
you get a diagnosis like that, to wonder, what does the future hold in store? You know, mm-hmm. how long is my future? Will I be around to watch my kids grow up? So there's a lot of fear. But, you know, we also all have our faith in Christ in common. And so what came next, I think, for most women, what you read about is the peace that comes from knowing the Lord, that comes after going through a storm like we've all gone through. And we all go through that. You know, you don't have to have a cancer diagnosis to face
right.
the storm. You know, we all face those eventually. And the thing is, you know, Christ's peace that he offers is very real. As tangible as that fear is, his peace is. So I think that's what you see, the recurring theme through these stories, is how the Lord provides peace and ultimately joy in our journeys.
How is it
that, does that make sense?
I hear you completely and totally, but at the same time, that's something that a lot of people struggle with. How can you look at something so challenging and find joy in it?
Wow. Mary, that's a good question. I don't know that I did initially. I mm-hmm. think the Lord wanted me to learn about it. And, you know, I talk about that in the book. Actually, many months before my cancer diagnosis, I had gone to a little weekend retreat, and I felt within my spirit, I mean, I kind of heard the Lord speak, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd heard of that Bible verse before. Mm-hmm. It's from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And I heard it over and over again. And finally, I kind of got the message that the Lord showed me that I had honestly lost my joy.
Mm, wow.
And I've been a Christian, Mary, for a very long time. And I used to be a very joy-filled person. But I think just through the busyness of life, you know, with raising kids, being a wife, working full-time, somewhere along the way, I lost that joy. And by God's grace, goodness, and mercy, he showed me that I needed that, and that it was going to have to come from him. And he did it prior to my cancer diagnosis, which showed me later that the Lord knew I could have joy, even in this journey. And he wanted me to have it for this trial, but it has to come from him. You know, it's not something that we can manufacture. Mm-hmm. We have to stay plugged into him. And so that's what I've been learning. I certainly did. I don't think I was completely joyful, you know, right at the beginning of my cancer diagnosis. But he showed me through prayer, through staying in touch with him, through connecting with other believers that, you know, joy is very tangible and it's ours to be had. You know, he wants us to be joyful even during something like a cancer journey.
Was there a particular prayer process or prayer routine that you used?
No, I wouldn't say a routine per se, but when I felt the most peace was when I was really on my knees, spending, I'll call it quality time with the Lord, you know, at least 10, 15 minutes. You know, I say those popcorn prayers that we offer throughout the day, they are great, but you really have to pause to be able to listen to the Lord and for you to feel like he's heard you, you know, when you spend that time. I mean, I was there in front of my living room couch many a morning doing the ugly cry before God, you know, just about my future. What did that look like? And it was the ugly cry with strands of snot and wads of tissues, you know. But afterwards, I really would feel the peace of the Lord. Another thing I'll mention too is, you know, I've been a Catholic for just about 4 years, so not a long time. And I really had a hard time getting into praying the rosary. And my priest told me, Kim, you really need to have more contemplative prayer. You really should be praying the rosary. And that was honestly a lifesaver early on in this journey. And I'll tell you why. Early on, I was given a drug called Demerol. It's a pain medication. And I had a reaction to it. That ended up causing major, major anxiety. I had never had that before in my life. It was kind of like having a drug overdose. It's like my body wasn't metabolizing it. And I ended up in the emergency room. And it was just a real scary experience that caused this major anxiety. And at night, I had such horrible insomnia. I would be up through the night. And I could not pray for myself. Because when I prayed for myself, if I tried to do that, all it did was really bring attention to what I was going through and made my anxiety worse. And so I started praying the rosary, and it kept my mind off of me and kept my mind focused on Christ. And there were some nights that I would pray for a different person on each bead, which allowed me to focus on others and their needs, which again took the focus off of myself and brought peace. And so I would say praying the rosary, if you know you have a listener that's never done that, to try that. It's a beautiful prayer.
And it can be daunting at times when you're first getting started. A story I like to share is with my kids when they were little and I started introducing the rosary. We would read the mystery, because that's, to me, the priority of the rosary is to meditate on the mysteries. So we'd read a mystery.
Right.
We'd do an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. Then read the next mystery. And it was an easy introduction. So if you're just getting started, you want to, you know, you don't have the ability to sit through the whole rosary, which can be difficult. Take baby steps. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And then we added 3 Hail Marys, then 5 Hail Marys, and eventually we're up to 10. And my kids are great at the rosary. Better than me, I think.
Mary, that's good. That is such wonderful advice. And I'll also add that you could go to YouTube, and there are so many programs that offer that, where you can pray the rosary along with someone else, which is also very helpful. And I did that many a night, and surprisingly didn't wake up my husband in the middle of the night. Yes. He slept through it. And he's a great sleeper, unlike myself. So anyway, I do encourage anyone to pray the rosary and just pray. Spend time with the Lord, because that's when you're going to feel his peace and experience his joy.
With your book, Joy is Contagious, Cancer Isn't, did you see a common thread of joy or good that came out of the illness with all of the women that were part of your story?
You know, Mary, it's really amazing how every woman either said they were thankful for cancer, they saw it as a gift, because I think in most cases, what something like cancer does is it causes you to realize what's important in life. You know, you no longer sweat the small stuff. For me, I will say it certainly made me more empathetic toward others who suffer with anxiety and depression and panic attacks and PTSD. Just those who suffer in general, because I would say before cancer, Mary, my life was pretty ideal. You know, I didn't have a lot of struggles in my life. And through cancer, it has just softened my heart toward other people. And so many people around us are suffering, and they need someone who can listen to them and say, I've been there, I understand what you're going through, let me pray for you. And so I'm thankful for the person it's causing me to become. And I had another thought, Mary, and it's kind of escaping me, but definitely I would say every single person said that they were definitely, definitely thankful. It really does help you focus on the most important things in your life, your friends, your family, your faith. And the other stuff just doesn't matter, really doesn't. And so, yeah, I would say that would be the common theme. Gratitude for cancer, as strange
as it
sounds.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Because when you're facing it, I always imagine that the first feeling is, oh, this is a death sentence, because that's kind of what you think cancer has, is even if it's just because your life is so difficult because of the treatment, it's still a very, you know, it's a huge struggle. So to be thankful is amazing.
I feel like I'm almost the antithesis of a lot of typical cancer patients. When I first found out that I had cancer, when my doctor called to tell me that, I was just like, oh, okay, thanks. you know, it could have been almost like my husband calling to say, would you pick up the dry cleaning? All right. And it's because, I know it sounds so strange, but I think it's because, honestly, Mary, by the time I was diagnosed, I kind of felt like I had cancer for several months. I had found my lump several months before, and it took me a while to get to go to the doctor before I actually went. And I don't know why I put it off. I think part of me didn't want to hear really what it was. But for most people, yes. I mean, you're spot on. They thought immediate death sentence. How much time do I have? You know, and you think this is it. And it can be very terrifying. But then that lessens, thankfully, with time, and you realize, you know, there's still life to be lived, and life is good, you know, and to get busy living life. Don't waste time. Do the things you love. Spend time with the people that you love.
On your blog site, you say that you just sat down with your kids and said, you just blurted it out. What was their reaction?
When I told them, they were somewhat unfazed, and I think it's because they really didn't know exactly what cancer was. And I really felt inept, Mary, at telling them about the cancer because I didn't know how much to tell. They were 12, 11, and 7, I think, at the time, or
it's
8. So they're pretty young. Certainly the older two were, you know, they had heard of cancer, but they didn't know exactly what it was. And I was afraid that I was going to make them fearful. The more I talked, the more I thought they're going to think this is extremely serious. And I mean, cancer is, it can be very serious. And so I just kind of said, well, you know what? It's not contagious. And I just changed the subject and kept on going. Henceforth, the name of the book, you know, Cancer Isn't Contagious, because I didn't know what to tell them. And I wanted to point out, I was going to say this earlier, I'm sorry, Mary, that I lost my train of thought, but
that's okay.
You know, I was diagnosed with stage one, and I don't tell everyone that, I don't feel the need to, and it's only because I've learned through this journey from many other women that, you know, stage one within a year can become stage four. You know, I'm thankful it's stage one. But I've had it pretty easy. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I've not gone through chemotherapy and I've not had radiation. Instead, I am on a medication called tamoxifen, that's to treat my particular kind of cancer. And I'll be on it for 5 years. And it does have its own host of side effects that I'd rather not deal with, but I'm thankful for it. But the other women in this book, they have had, many of them, a rough road. And one of them is stage four. And I kind of equate it to an actual battle, a physical battle, where they're the soldiers on the front lines, honestly, with the M16s and hand grenades. And I feel like I'm the one with KP duty back in the kitchen peeling potatoes.
Right.
You know, I mean, I kind of have it a little easier than the others. And I know that. And I'm sure people listening, they've heard it said that the Lord never gives you more than you can handle. And I think he looked at me and said, Kim, you're a wimp. And this is about all you can deal
this
with.
Is it.
And I was like, oh, thank right. you, Lord, which probably enabled me to write this book. And of course, we never know what the future holds in store. But I am thankful that, you know, compared to a lot of people, I have had it very, very easy and mild compared to most. So I just wanted to put that out because the women in here in this book, they're true warriors. They really are.
So what do you think people will take away from your book?
Hopefully that life is good mm-hmm. no matter what comes at you. And they're all surprises. You know, we're all surprised by life. It tends to unfold in ways that we don't expect, whether it's having a wayward child or a child who's diagnosed with an mm-hmm. illness. That can be so hard. And, you know, I've experienced that a little bit myself within my own family, whether it's our own health, you know, surprises come, storms come, expect them, but also expect the Lord to be with you, to walk alongside you, that he will lead you to the still waters. You know, he promises us that, and he's good on his promises. So that is what I hope people will take away from this, that they can really trust the Lord who put the universe into place mm-hmm. and named all the stars and has us, our names written on the palms of his hands, that he is trustworthy.
Beautiful. How can they get their hands on your book?
Well, you know, it is available online. If they go to Amazon, they can go to Barnes & Noble. It's also available through Westbow Press. And if that's too much to remember, if anyone can remember my name, they can go online to Kim Tizer, as you mentioned earlier, K-I-M as in Mary, T-I-S-O-R.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kim, for being with us. And what a joy. What a joy.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks for having me on. It was a blessing and my honor to be on your show.
We also want to say thank you to bensound.com for royalty-free music. And thank you. Thank you for joining us today here at Breadbox Media. It's a Mom Thing. And I have a question for you to ponder. What's your story?